Hello everyone, my name is David Strain and welcome to Life Toward God, a devotional from the First Presbyterian Church of Jackson, Mississippi. This week we're focusing our attention on the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ as it beats towards his people here on earth from his throne in heaven. And before we begin and dive into some of that, we're going to start, as we usually do, with some scripture to prepare our hearts as we seek the Lord together. So listen with me to Psalm 126. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like streams in the Negev. Those who sow in tears shall reap with shouts of joy. He who goes out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, bringing his sheaves with him. Our opening prayer today also comes, just like yesterday's, from the second century, this time from the church father Irenaeus. Let's pray together. Give perfection, completion to beginners, O Father. Give intelligence to the little ones. Give aid to those who are running their course. Give sorrow to the negligent. Give fervour of spirit to the lukewarm, and give to the complete, the perfect, a good consummation, for the sake of Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Well, we are returning again today to a text that we considered last week, Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, because this is one of maybe only two or three places in the Gospels where Jesus himself tells us about what was going on in his own heart. Matthew 11, at verse 28, Jesus said, "Come to me, all who labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I am gentle and lowly in heart. I just want to think about those two words for a moment. Gentle and lowly in heart, as it describes the Lord Jesus, both in his earthly ministry and today. The adjective translated here, gentle, only occurs three other times in the New Testament. You can find it in 1 Peter 3:4, where it also means gentle. In Matthew 5:5, in the famous Beatitude, the meek, that's the same word, shall inherit the earth. It occurs again in Matthew 21:5, quoting Zechariah 9:9, "Behold, your king shall come to you riding on a donkey, humble." It's the same word. So gentle, humble, meek. The noun form of this word is used in Galatians 5:22 in the context of the work of the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. So here's virtually a pen portrait of the character of the Lord Jesus. This is what Jesus is like, endowed as he was with all the gifts and all the graces of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You find it again in 1 Thessalonians 2:7, where Paul says that when he came to Thessalonica, he was gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. That's a beautiful metaphor. It's the same word that Jesus uses to describe his heart. Like a nursing mother, gentle with her children. And then there's the other word Jesus uses, the other adjective, lowly of heart. And there's significant semantic overlap between these two words, to be sure. It's most commonly translated in the New Testament as humble. It's used in James 4:6, for example, where God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. So humility is a godly virtue. In his book, Gentle and Lowly, Dane Ortlund points out that both in the New Testament and with slightly different nuances in Greek culture, humility was not generally regarded so much as a virtue as a condition of life imposed upon a person. And he points us to Mary's song in Luke 1:52 as an example. She says that God exalts those of low estate. It's the same word. Jesus says, I am lowly of heart. My heart is of low estate. It's a word that points not just to an attitude we adopt toward others, humility, but to a status, a position imposed upon us or into which we enter, a position of being low and lowly. The Westminster Confession and Catechisms divide the work of Christ between his estate of humiliation and his estate of glorification. Humiliation there doesn't refer to a psychological condition, though doubtless there's an element of truth to that for Jesus as well. That's how we tend to use the word humiliation to mean a psychological affliction. I was humiliated. But in the Westminster Confession, it's using it actually much more in line with the way the scripture uses it to mean low position. If I was forced to suggest the distinction between gentle and lowly, I'd say that gentleness here describes Christ's affections, his feeling towards us, how he responds to us. And lowliness refers to his chosen condition into which he voluntarily entered on our behalf. He embraced a low estate. The first word, gentleness, reminds us that Jesus is not callous or harsh with his people ever. He doesn't sit with a big stick waiting to hurt you when you step out of line. Yes, he disciplines his people, and yes, we grieve him, even anger him by our sin, but our great high priest never neglects to be gentle, even in his corrections. He is tender toward you. A bruised reed he will not break, and a faintly burning wick he will not snuff out. Isaiah 42:3. You can go to him, you see. Unburden yourself to him. Rest on him, because he's always going to be gentle with you. And the second word, lowly in heart, reminds us that Jesus, as Philippians 2:8 puts it, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even the death of a cross. It reminds us that the Lord Jesus is the one of whom God said, behold my servant. That's a servant word. Low estate, lowly of heart. Behold my servant. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, turned each one of us to his own way. But the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Jesus, our great exalted King, elected to be lowly, to be humbled, to come as the servant of God, humiliated and despised. Why? Because he is gentle toward wayward sinners like me and like you. And he wants us to come to him confident when we do that we will always find a welcome. This is the disposition of Christ toward you today, right now. He's full of gentleness. He will not deal harshly with you. If you are his by faith in the gospel, he's not sort of a cosmic examiner scoring the examination test of your life, ready to punish. He is your king who took a lowly estate to make you his brothers and sisters. So his heart is always moved with kindness toward you. Shall we pray together? Lord Jesus, how we praise you that you are gentle and lowly in heart. Yes, you are high and lifted up, exalted before whom the seraphim must veil their faces as they adore you in your holiness. Yes, heaven and earth will bend the knee to confess you, Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And how we rejoice to ascribe praise to you as our majestic sovereign. And yet we pray for your forgiveness for the dishonor we have done you by forgetting that you are gentle and lowly in heart, that you care profoundly for us. Help us today, whatever may come in the trials and struggles, as well as the successes and joys of this day's providence. Help us today to cling to the truth of your gentleness, that we may often flee to you rather than hide from you. In your name we pray. Amen. Thanks for joining us at Life Toward God. You can find previous episodes and more information about the First Presbyterian Church of Jackson, Mississippi by going to www.fpcjackson.org.